Life Audio.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on How to Study the Bible. This is Nicole, your host, and we are going to get to our episode in just a moment. But before we do, I just wanted to give you a couple of quick updates. I've been on the road and out with the people talking about my new book, Not What I Signed Up For, which is for you if you are looking for encouragement and guidance and a friend in your own unexpected season. We are looking at the life of Joseph from the book of Genesis in that book and study guide. So I want to invite you, we are going to study that work together starting in May here on How to Study the Bible. So would love for you to grab that study guide and that book and join us. We will be starting in May on that. So without further ado, we have lifted one of our favorite episodes for you to enjoy today. I hope you guys enjoy it, and I'll see you with a fresh episode next week. I think sometimes it feels like our faith has been hijacked by fear and discouragement and guilt. It's not been about being set free to love and to joy and to confidence. And what we find in this letter is that John is going to encourage us towards that love, joy, and confidence. We're going to take a look at a letter together, and that letter is 1 John. And I'm going to set it up today. We're going to be kind of going through this relatively quickly. It's a very short letter, but it's very rich, it's very deep, and has a lot to offer us. And truly, this letter particularly is going to challenge some of the ways that we look at Bible study. So I want to give you some guidelines as you start to engage with this letter. So the book of 1 John is written, it's pretty much undisputed that it's written by the Apostle John. That would be the same apostle who wrote the Gospel of John. And we're going to see some really beautiful connections between the Gospel of John and this letter of 1 John. And as we begin to open up this letter, I want you to remember that this is a letter of fellowship. This is a letter of blessing. This is a letter of joy. This is about a message of the joy that we find in the assurance and certainty of our faith in Christ. And when you kind of give the letter a first read, you might be like, well, Nicole, it's also really challenging, which it is. But I think it's important that we set the tone that this is a message of joy. And here's why I know that that is the tone of this message. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Says this. This is how I know that this is a message of joy. 1 John, in the first few verses, right in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Often, you guys know we do this often in Bible study. We're gonna try to understand where the author is going. And a lot of times we can find that out by looking at the very beginning and the very end to just kind of get a feel, right, for where we're going. So in verses 3 and 4 in 1 John chapter 1, it says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." I love that. So we've got that fellowship. This is a letter of fellowship. We have that this is a letter of joy. And then I pulled from John chapter 13, verse 17, because John would have been there listening to Jesus say these words. And Jesus said, "If you understand these things I have just done for you, you will be so deeply blessed if you just put them into practice." So the setting of this letter is fellowship, blessing, and joy. And the setting of this letter is, again, John from an older perspective. So this letter was written several years, like after John was a young disciple, and he's seen the early church start to spread. And this letter was a pastoral letter, really from like an older person's perspective of what kind of assurance and confidence we can have in our faith. And he's reiterating the message of what our faith is really about. I think sometimes it feels like our faith has been hijacked by fear and discouragement and guilt. It's not been about being set free to love and to joy and to confidence. And what we find in this letter is that John is going to encourage us towards that love, joy, and confidence. Now, I promised you that there was going to be a part of this letter that will challenge our Bible study. So we know this. You guys know that I have given you this method, these four questions that we ask in the Alive method that you just got a review on because we rebroadcast those throughout the month of January. And these four questions, they do have limitations. And one of those limitations is that when we do use these four questions, we can often approach scripture with a really like linear view, meaning like we're looking for point A to point B to point C, which does work in lots of the Bible. But there are parts of the Bible, poetry and narrative and some letters, where it doesn't quite feel as linear. And 1 John is a great example of that. 1 John is more circular, meaning John is going to return to themes over and over again in the letter. We're not going to just move from one theme to the next theme to the next theme. We're going to hear those themes kind of circling around over and over again as we read the letter. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you're looking for a way to spend a few minutes in Bible study, what I'd love for you to do is to read the whole letter, read all five chapters of the letter, and maybe in your journal or in your Bible study, just go ahead and write down some of the questions that you have as you read the letter. Because even as we open up the first chapter, we're going to hear about light and darkness. That's going to be repeated again. We're going to hear about love and fellowship. That's going to be repeated again. So we're going to keep kind of hearing some of the same themes over and over again. And because of that, it may be a good idea to write down some of those questions that you might have or some of those observations that you have, because we're going to go in and out of those themes throughout this next month. Okay, so I'm going to give you just a heads up on a couple of some of what those themes are going to look like in this letter. So a couple of themes that you may want to look out for is that we're going to be learning about true doctrine. The idea here is that John wants to make sure that he's correcting any deviation from the truth of the grace of Jesus Christ that we have through faith. And these deviations have been discussed, like why, what is he addressing? Is he addressing Gnosticism, which we'll talk about? Is he addressing different controversies that were coming up in the early church? Yes, guys, from the beginning, there have been controversies. Like, we are in controversies right now, and there's always been those. And then we've got these leaders who help kind of direct us back to the true faith. And that's one of the things that we're going to see here, is that John is going to be directing us back to true doctrine. A second theme that we're going to find here is in obedient living. What does it actually look like to live out our faith? Our faith is not based on works. However, our faith does require us to participate with God in the way that he is transforming us more and more into the image of Christ. There's this weird like thing that has developed, I think, that can develop in us. It's black and white thinking. Well, no, because my faith is not based on work, I don't need to work on my faith. Or we've got the other side of it, which is like, no, I do need to work for my faith, and my salvation is always in question. If I'm not being good enough, then my salvation is in question. Neither one of those are true. In fact, what we do know to be true, and that we're going to see again in 1 John, is that God has called us to faith, and he's called us to keep in step with him as he is conforming and transforming us more and more into the image of Christ. So we're going to hear about that here. And then the third thing is just this devotion, a devotion to Jesus Christ, a fierce faith in Jesus is going to be a theme that we're going to see happening again and again in this letter. So if you want to look for those themes and then maybe even write questions if you have questions underneath those themes, I think that would be a great way to go. So I want to look at just three verses today in 1 John chapter 1, and then we're going to wrap here with our Alive Method questions, what sort of develops from here, and then we'll pick it up again next week. Okay, so 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, first question in the Alive Method, what does it say? And as you look at this, you're going to see some different word pictures that develop, right? You might see some repeating ideas. A couple of those repeating ideas is this idea of walking in the light. if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that's a repeating idea. We have this repeating idea of being cleansed, right? We see this two places where it says Jesus' son cleanses or continually cleanses us from sin. And then it says it again in verse 9, right? This cleansing idea. And then we've got sin is being talked about, right? There's three places in these three verses that sin is mentioned. So we start to see, okay, what does this actually say? And what I love about this particular passage is, man, this is just like one of those passages that you just want to put in your pocket and memorize and know it, because it is the truth of our salvation. It is the truth of what gives us the freedom and confidence to love one another. It gives us the freedom and confidence to live without regret and without guilt. And it gives us a clear pathway to understand how Jesus Christ works in our life and how we can experience cleansing from our sin. That's just right there for us. We don't even have to do any backstory to see that that's what we have in front of us, okay? Okay, the second question, though, is what is the backstory? So I've given you a ton of backstory on the whole letter, and that can kind of help you get going. I want to give you one more amazing piece of backstory here in this first 9 verses of 1 John. When you take a look at it, if you are a student of the word, you may notice that it sounds kind of familiar. Some of these themes sound familiar. Did anyone notice that? And what you're going to find is that these themes that are developing in 1 John in these first few verses are the same themes that develop in the Gospel of John in the first chapter, in the first verses. And I just love that, you guys. I mean, I love just a little treasure like that, because it takes these words off of the page and it actually gives us a sense of the man who held the pen. Who held the pen and recorded his experience of walking with Jesus, who held the pen and recorded this letter to encourage the churches, who saw from the beginning, just this beginning seed of what would be our faith, what it would mean to be followers of Jesus Christ. He got to see all of that develop. And then he's writing to us from his elder years, looking down at the church to say, hey, I want to remind you of the truth of our faith. And what you're going to find in 1 John is that whenever you get confused or you're not sure where it's going, I want you to remember the hand that held the pen. And you can go to the Gospel of John and look at these stories of Jesus as a way to remember and to understand what John is talking about, because he lived those out. That was his lived experience of the Bible. And so when we see these ideas of darkness and light, when we see this concept of Jesus being the Word and what Jesus did, we're going to see those concepts actually repeated in John, right? So that's part of the backstory that we get to take here. Okay, our third question is, what does it mean? What does this mean for us? What are the principles that we see here? And of course, you can pull several principles just from these three verses. But the thing that I wrote down as a principle is that there is a process to our forgiveness. There is a process to our forgiveness, and there's a process to our righteousness. And that's actually really good news, because I think a lot of us think like, am I forgiven? Have I forgiven? What do I do with the fact that I keep messing up and I keep making mistakes, right? Because we all keep making mistakes. If we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, it says in verse 8. And this really gives us that, like, there is a process to our forgiveness. There is a process to our righteousness. And then that fourth question, what does it mean for me? Well, I find that in verse 9, we get our application right there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Now, people can get really hung up here, though, because just because it's a process doesn't mean that it's like a hex or a formula or some sort of like ritual that's going to keep you from God, because God is God and God is powerful. Sometimes people, depending on how they were raised, might have this sense of, if I don't confess every single sin I've ever done, and if I can't name every single one, then I won't be forgiven. That is not what this says. It does not say that you need to understand and confess every single specific sin that you ever do in a day, every single day, or somehow that's going to keep you from heaven. That's not what it says. What this passage does say is that we do have to confess our sins, that there is a first step in our salvation. And this is a salvation verse, right? This verse says, hey, this is how it works. If you confess your sins, God forgives you. Like, It's not, he doesn't say that you're faithful and just so he forgives your sins. It says because he is faithful and just. God actually relies on his own character for the way that we experience forgiveness. So it's not actually about your character. The part that we play in it is actually admitting that we need a savior, admitting that we sin, that we've fallen short, that there's things that we have left undone, that there's things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. And that all through our life, we do this. There's the first step when we first acknowledge that we need a savior, and that is our salvation. And then there's the process where we come back into fellowship with God as we confess our sins. I think that's why it's important when we go to the How to Pray series that God gave us a prayer. Jesus actually gave us a way to pray. And in that way to pray, there is confession as part of that way to pray. So what does it mean for me? Well, I think it's important for you to consider, what is your rhythm of confession? What does that look like for you? How do you come to the Lord? And how do you ask for forgiveness and then have confidence that he forgives you and that you are made righteous, that you don't have to like worry that you're somehow going to be left out or somehow that you have fallen so short that you can never recover, because God forgives us based on his character, not based on ours. And that is incredibly good news. So that's what we have for this week, you guys. Thank you for being here. We're going to take on 1 John chapter 2 next week. Write down those questions, send them in, come contact me on socials, find me on Instagram, Facebook, wherever you want. Nicole Eunice would love to hear your questions, and we will address those as we continue together through this incredible letter about fierce faith.
How to Study the Bible with Nicole Eunice is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you like what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review the podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.